everyone. Welcome back to Starting From The Pits with me, Charlotte, and I am joined by Lily once again. And today we are discussing all things Austrian Grand Prix and the British Grand Prix.
Woo! Which we are both going, guys. So if you're going, let us know. We might meet up.
Yeah. So shall we just jump straight into the Austrian Grand Prix? Because hands down for me, best race of the season.
I feel like I can't say that because it was only the last 10 laps, but my God, I feel like a few people might have turned it off and then thought, oh, what happened there?
Yeah. Very I do think, though, like, to be fair for me, I was kind of hooked the entire race. There was, like, a few laps in the middle. I was like, I could fall asleep right now. But, like, we had that battle between the Frenchies.
The French peens.
Yeah, the French peens. That was sprint, actually, that we mentioned that, but that was quite funny. Yeah. But, yeah, they were, like, out to get each other anyway. And, yeah, we just had a lot of good battles.
Yeah, K-Mag and Hulkenberg had some good ones. They were telling K-Mag that you both need to, like, look after your tyres, and he literally said, fuck that shit.
He was like,
and that's
no.
Why I like it. I hope he's in the sport next season because of that, and then obviously the Alpines, like you said, and I actually don't know if Esteban will be in that seat back for the whole season, and that's no disrespect to him, but obviously they've confirmed Pierre.
Yeah.
And if this just keeps going on, I could honestly see a mid-season swap. Or like,
that's very interesting. To be fair, though, they've no loyalties with Ocon anymore. It's like, he's going anyway, so why not just try and... Why not get your next driver, probably going to be... If it's Jack Doohan, if it's going to be him... Yes. If it's going to be him, why not just put him in the seat now, get him ready for next season, and then you sort of... You're already on the front foot.
Yeah, good idea. But one of the best things about the race, which we were talking afterwards, was the post... show the post race show, which we'll obviously dive into Max and Lando afterwards, but that post race show shown like the importance of watching it, especially if you're really into it and you'd love to know like, the stats and like facts. But it also showed like before you go and defend your driver, go and listen to the experts, because Anthony Davidson, like
mic drop,
he pulled every receipt he could have. He had 2022 clips coming up of Max and Charles, of him doing the exact same move.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see. It was kind of a bit like, oh, is he out to get him? But no, he was just trying to prove a valid point that you might not understand unless you know the technical terms of stuff. But
exactly. To be honest, it's the first time I've really sat and analysed it and watched the post-race show. And I'm going to do it way more now. Because I listen to Karun and I love Karun, but he doesn't quite explain it in the same way as Anthony did. I think Anthony Davidson did it in very much a more basics terms, whereas Karun goes into it with the point of view, you already know what you're talking about kind of thing.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But he is very good at it.
You've got Ted's analysis as well, which is quite chaotic, but he does come up because he interviewed Andrea Stella.
Oh my God, that...
That was interesting because he mentioned Brazil 2022. And the fact that they have these already in the back of their mind, if anyone's going to ask, and he said something like, everyone in the world will know who's right in that situation apart from a group of people. And I was like, oh, I didn't think it'd be this deep afterwards. Like, it was going to come. Carlos made a good point. He said it was going to come sooner or later, this crash. And Lando wanted to get him. But Max also was... Max just being Max, he didn't want to let him pass. It was a fair fight to the extent. I think while I was watching it, I thought, oh, Lando's done a bit of a dodgy move. Oh, okay, then Max did, so it evens out. But when you listen and you watch back and you see, actually, Lando didn't do a dodgy move. It was Max. But I do think Max handled it afterwards quite well.
I was just about to say that he handled it very maturely. Usually drivers are quite hot-headed after something like that happens, and they go off on a tangent saying, it wasn't my fault, this, that, and the other. And Max sort of just stood there and was like, I'm going to go back, I'm going to analyse it, I'm going to see what the situation actually is, and then I'll make a comment on it.
He did say that, like, he is in the car, he knows he didn't brake under turn.
He didn't move under brake him.
Yeah, that's it. And he said, like, obviously he's in the car, he knows what's right, and to other people it might seem it, and to the extent, maybe he's not doing that, but it was a valid point, I think, to know that you do have to take into account the driver in the car, and sometimes when people crash into people and they're like, well, I didn't see. And people in the commentary say, well, they clearly did. It's kind of like, sometimes you do have to take that into account. And in this instance, it might not be true. But he was quite mature about it, quite level-headed. Mm. He was getting asked quite serious questions about their friendship straight away. Yeah. Like, guys, like...
There was a French journalist who asked him, basically, well, you're already winning the championship, why didn't you just let him through? And he basically turned around and was like, well, that's, you might as well just ask me, why didn't I stay at home?
No, that's what Lando said.
So, was it?
Well, Lando said something very similar. He said, he's that far ahead, he shouldn't, in the championship, he shouldn't be fighting that hard.
Maybe that's why the journalist asked him that question. Yeah.
Which is interesting, and I think Lando's come across maybe a bit, immature's the wrong word, but you can tell he's not been in situations similar to this before.
Yeah.
Obviously, straight away to journalists, asking for an apology, when they ask about the friendship, saying, well, it depends, so if he apologises.
I think it's just a lack of experience in these situations.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's kind of like, is it that deep? Is it that deep?
Yeah, I agree. And also, like, Netflix is going to be lapping this up as well. Let's remember that. I'm not saying that they're playing to the cameras, because they're definitely not. This is their careers at the end of the day. But it will have, there'll be an element of it somewhere, I think.
100%. I saw a funny tweet and it was like, Martin Garrix is crying right now, thinking which side he's going to get custody. There's always light moments, but I think just overall, it's very interesting that these two are that close now, and I don't think this will be the last time this happens.
No.
And obviously, let's talk about the aftermath of it. George Russell.
Yeah.
Which I'm not mad about. I know a lot of people don't like George, and I didn't see as much, but a few people being like, well, he didn't deserve the win. In F1, sometimes you just have to capitalize on other people's mistakes. George,
that's the beauty of it, though. Like, that is the way that racing goes. Sometimes the most obvious person doesn't win because the obvious person has crashed out. So it's just the nature of the game, and you can't take away a win from somebody just because they've not done it on pace or anything like that. Exactly, yeah.
But he's made mistakes in the past that have made other people capitalize on podiums.
Exactly.
And it's just what goes around comes around. And at the end of the day, he raced well, that he was in P3, and unfortunately that happened in front of him, and he took advantage of it. It could have easily been Oscar.
Was such a good drive for Oscar.
Yeah, and also a good drive. Charles Leclerc.
Great recovery from him, to be fair. I mean, it was kind of heartbreaking to see the Williams overtake him.
Yeah, as soon as he was pitted as well. He did 4 pit stops. And I think you have to remember, and he was just shy of the point. A penalty for one of them, he could have got into it. So I don't understand why he didn't get driver of the day.
Lando driver of the day. I think driver of the day, the voting cut off too soon because, yeah. How can you get driver of the day when you've completely just messed your own race up?
I think he's had driver of the day for the past 5 races.
Everybody just loves Lando.
It is a popularity contest, though, which is a shame, because was it the other week Valtteri Bottas was like 3rd for drive of the day, and like we were all like,
what's going on?
No one's seen him this race. But yeah, I did think his actual recovery drive was overlooked due to the
chaos at the front.
Chaos. And also Daniel Ricciardo has been overlooked. He finishing the points.
Oh, see, yes. I think that's... We say, oh, that's good, but, like, we've got to remember who Daniel Ricciardo is.
True, but Yuki's also struggled, so...
Yeah, I guess so, but it's just such a shame to see us celebrating Daniel getting points.
I know, and he's obviously got a lot of heat on his seat at the minute, so... Yeah. I think it was a good drive. He's got a lot of pressure on him. Clearly, the car's not been good, because I think when Yuki's performing well, then it's a good comparison. But I think a lot of things got overlooked because of the chaos at the end.
I completely agree. Also, though, another great race from Harry Benjamin. I very much enjoyed his commentary.
It was nice hearing him with Martin this time, who's obviously really on it, but he's just got away with words and making situations.
Like, I was really listening in when he was doing, because obviously I'm listening, but sometimes you're not really paying full attention. And I was really listening into the way he was describing George as he was coming over the line. And I was like, this is so well thought out, but because it's such an unexpected win, he's had to think of that on the spot. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think the F1 Instagram account were like,
I know.
It didn't come out straight away.
I'm like, not expecting this. Have. Where's the George picture?
F1 admins, I need to know, do you have like them all ready, or do you have like three ready? Max is maybe always at the top, and then someone else wins, and you're like scavenging. Like, if Logan Sargeant won, would you have a Logan Sargeant win graphic?
Exactly. I would always love to know how they do this. Like, did they just have a bank of pictures and they just copy them over, I drop a tool on the colours and that's it? Or what's the situation? Because it's so reactive, I don't understand. And they have to be the first ones to get it out as well.
I wanted to put it on my story. Yeah. George Russell supporter. And it was just not there. I was like, guys.
Yeah, to be fair, you've converted me to being a bit more of a George fan this weekend. He used to really irritate me. I think when he first joined Mercedes, he whined a lot.
So a lot of people say this to me. Oh, he always moans, and I think he doesn't moan that much.
I think Lewis moans quite a lot in that car. I think every time I listened to a George radio, he was complaining about something. I was just like, you are literally in your rookie season at Mercedes.
Yeah, I think when he came in, he kind of expected a lot.
That's what I mean.
He wanted to think he deserved a lot, but because he did the 2 years at Williams and he drove really well for Williams. But I think the past two seasons, he's just got his head down and got on
with it.
Or has not been the best. And he doesn't really blame him not having a good race on anything. Whereas I do think Lewis has the tendency of blaming something else.
I agree.
And you never know, like, as we are not driving that car, we have no clue what it is like.
Yeah.
So you never know. But I do feel like George has kind of just got his head down. He's about to take the number one seat at Mercedes, should we say.
Eventually.
And I feel like he'd be a good role model for someone to come up to.
Yeah, that's true. He's very well media trained. He's very well just like trained in general.
Just posh. Another final point from the race. Everyone missed Nico Hülkenberg overtaking Perez near the end.
Sorry.
I know. However, they did put a picture out. Perez was carrying damage in his car, like a hole in his car. So maybe that was why. But still, Hülkenberg taking over a Red Bull.
Fair.
Near the end of the race, you know, fair. We've covered it in a...
That was really concise for us. We've done well there.
I know. Just comment on the F2, as I like to.
Yeah, go on.
I like to do. Ollie Bearman finally won a race. He won the sprint.
Yay!
He then DNF'd in the race.
Oh, okay.
If anyone from Prema is listening, please sort that car out.
Please! It's horrible to watch. Also from this weekend, the steak team, Sauber steak, whatever you want to call it, they've sorted the pit stops out.
They have been better. I feel like I always forget that they literally had 30 seconds pit stop.
It's crazy, but yeah, I think they've finally sorted that out somehow. There's a wheel gun that's working.
And it's a bit, they're still on about like three to four seconds.
It's better than 30.
Getting there. Okay. I like to do a game when we're watching the race, when I'm with someone, and when they show the pit stop on the screen, I'm always like, 2.3.
Yes, I do that.
There's nothing better than getting it right.
When you're like, that was a 2.8, and they're like, how do you know? And I'm like, just watch.
Watch it be one. Oh, that was definitely a 1.9. Ferrari did have a 1.9 pit stop.
Did they?
We were having a lot of pit stop practice.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I think it was a good race weekend.
Yeah, I enjoyed this race weekend. And we had the sprint as well. And, you know, we had some great texts between us. That was so funny.
we promise we do watch the race.
Yeah, we do actually watch. We just have to tell each other things as well. I was going to say, I found recently, I actually take in the race more when I watch it on my own. I usually sit downstairs and watch it with my parents, right? But it was, what was I doing? I was doing something. I was like, oh, I'll just put the FE on. It started at 10 o'clock, right? I sat and watched that race so laser focused, and I was on my own in my room in the dark, and I was like, maybe I need to do this every week and actually take things in, because I took away so much from that race.
I feel like I'm the exact same. Sometimes I love watching it on my own.
Yeah.
When I first got into it, this is really bad, and like people around me then got into it because of me. When someone spoke over a team radio, there was arguments in this household. But now everyone knows you. Do you know, like, when commentary happens and they hear the boop and
they stop? Like, 2 seconds ahead.
That is me in the house. Guys, do you know, you can speak. I can answer any questions throughout the race. Team Radio.
Silence.
I feel like, and like, I've watched races in like groups of people, like in a pub, and it's really nice, but I do like the comfort of my
I agree. Mum and Dad, if you listen to this, I'm so sorry, but next race, apart from the British Grand Prix, I am going to be watching on my own for the podcast purpose. Yeah.
But there is something about when I came back from the Spanish Grand Prix, as someone that's only ever watched it over the TV, I did feel like, I feel like this might sound really ungrateful, but I did miss a bit, like, not watching it on the TV, because I was just so used to it, and you obviously do miss a lot, especially, like, in Spain when you don't have the commentary, but...
I agree.
And I said to people when I come back, I said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing going to races for some people, and never feel like you're less of a fan because you don't get to go to one. Because watching it at home around
your
people,
good, if not better,
is literally just as good. The race weekend's a different type of good because of everything else. But I would never want someone to sit there who can only watch it on the TV and feel like bits upset because sometimes it's just as good, and it just depends who you surround yourself with, whether that's yourself.
On that though, like, I think the F1 Arcade does a really good job of kind of recreating that vibe of a race day, because you're all fans, you're all there to watch the same thing in one space, and you're all kind of like that crowd atmosphere, especially if you're in a grandstand or something. When one person gets excited, everybody gets excited. So I think that is a lot more of an accessible way to go and watch a race and have that same kind of feeling.
I really get to watch it all. I really want to go to the F1 Arcade. It's obviously in London and Birmingham. We'll hopefully get to go there this year. But I think if you go in to watch it in like a pub environment, you don't always have the commentary on as well. Whereas there,
it's loud.
Everyone's there to watch the race. You probably meet new people, which is really nice. Because I feel like once you get into the sport, like especially me, like no one around me really was into it either. Look, me and you met.
Oh no, that's why we're friends.
It's such a nice thing as well, so don't feel like just because you can't get to a race, there's so many other ways you can connect with people.
Exactly.
And TikTok being one of them, which is really good.
Should we get on to the exciting part?
Let's move on to Sam!
I genuinely think I am just like a walking scream right now. Oh. Because I can't stop thinking about this week.
It's just, I mean, the weather, I'm trying to block it out.
I've not looked yet. Should I have a look?
Well, I'm expecting rain. That is not the issue. I know it's going to rain. It makes an exciting race weekend. We want rain when we're watching it on the TV, so we have to face the same thing. However, it changes every time we go on the app.
Yeah, so Friday right now is looking like rain.
But yesterday it said sun.
Saturday is windy and Sunday's just cloud, but we're highs of 19 degrees.
So this is what I'm okay with, but if it's windy... But I'm obviously going the Thursday, and last time I checked, which was yesterday, it said sun on the Thursday, rain Friday, rain Saturday, sun Sunday. Make up your mind.
Oh, it's so stressful, isn't it?
It's sunny, like early hours of the day, but we'll be up because we're general admission, getting our spaces.
Yeah.
And then watch it rain over Quali, which is fine.
What day are you getting there?
Thursday.
So you're setting up camp on Thursday?
Yeah, so I'm off to vote at 7 a.m. and then straight to Silverstone.
Love that for you.
I'm very excited.
I'm not there on Thursday, but I'll be there Friday morning.
Well, Kings of Leon are playing, and my God, that is such a good band to have on.
Yeah,
better than some of the Glastonbury headliners.
Yeah.
Literally.
Who else is performing?
At Stormzy on Friday. So I feel like that's good because they're two people, like, we all want to watch, and, like, by Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be tired.
Yeah.
They're really two good days. Like, we can go wild a bit on the Thursday. Yeah. And then Saturday is Pete Tong, Ibiza Classics. And then Sunday's Rudimental.
That'd be
good. We will see. But there's so much going on, like, around the site as well. We've seen that there's some karaoke. We don't know if it's, like, group karaoke or...
Oh, my God, I love karaoke.
Maybe you'll see me there. There's, like, loads of, like, pub quizzes, obviously all the drivers, so...
Is this just around, like, the campsite, or is
No, this is in the like arena would, I don't know what to call it, the track.
This is my first time doing the British Grand Prix and actually being at Silverstone when there's action on there, so I'm excited.
Well, I obviously did one day last year and I just felt a different type of emotion being there, like it was so exciting. But we're not staying in Woodcote, which is like the main camping, I think. I might be. We're not staying in the main one, we're staying in another one.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be able to like chill out a bit. Oh, I'm just so excited.
Same.
I just hope we have like a good result. I really want a British driver on the
Can you imagine this weekend's race next weekend? As in Austrian. Imagine if that happened at like, Silverstone. I know, sorry, I said that so wrong.
Was it 2022 when Lewis and Max collided?
Flying into the barrier.
And well, Lewis won, but yeah. I feel like if some, like, and then obviously Joe's crash.
We were quite fortunate
last year, like there wasn't any big crashes.
Yeah.
K-Mag stopped on track maybe, but fingers crossed we don't want big crashes. We like a bit of,
you know,
wheel
touching. Yeah.
But fingers crossed for a good race and fingers crossed for a Brit on the top step.
How
aka
good would that be?
Lando. And then maybe I'd actually say like Lando, Lewis, George on the podium.
It's not unrealistic at this point, though. Like, how good would that be?
I hope Ferrari can get the shit together. Sorry, that is my feelings towards it now.
I agree.
Monaco feels like a lifetime ago.
It feels like three seasons ago.
And obviously, Carlos winning the Australian Grand Prix.
I completely forgot about that.
You know, I just hope that what I feel like in 2022, Max and Charles were neck and neck for the first half, and then it just went away.
It's happening again.
Maybe not with Charles, but with Lando. I really want all three of them in this fight for the championship. I know Max is a bit ahead. I think he's about 60, 70 points ahead.
Yeah.
But that can all change.
It can, that's very true. It has been known to happen.
And as well, the constructors, I feel like that won't be settled until the final race because of Perez. And
that's true.
Well, Max basically won it on his own last season and he's not doing that. And then Perez is obviously not giving the team
what they want.
I just
don't get it. I don't get that contract renewal.
I feel it's so hard because I do like Perez. I see his like potential and I see what he's done. Something's just not clicking.
It's not. I don't know what it is, but it's just not. It's like he's, like I said last week, he signed that contract and kicked his feet up.
And it's frustrating when there is people who deserve a seat.
Liam Lawson.
He potentially, you know, what Helmut Mark has been saying, he might have the seat.
Well, yeah.
Visa Cash App.
Klarna Pay Later.
Oh my god.
I'm going to say British Grand Prix predictions, Lando, Lewis, George. I want that to happen.
I want it to happen. I don't think I will. Oh my god, I've got a hole in my leggings. Sorry. I could see Lewis on the podium.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how he's doing the season, I feel like it will always be on that podium.
I think he's going to get a win this year, you know. I do think it's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if we had another race like this race, which is not unheard of, we could.
But even in all the other situations, he's always been, so for example, like Singapore, he was fourth, like he wasn't up there. And yeah. I know people said, well, if George let him pass, and I thought, well, he wasn't in the position in the first place, so why should George let him pass? Then in Australia, he wasn't there.
I just want him to have one last win with Mercedes. Do you know what I mean?
I can feel it, but I don't know. I'm all about these. They're not even young anymore.
I know, they're in like the fifth year.
But I do like that group, like Alex, Shaw, George, and Lando.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like. They're like my.
How Alex feels, because I love Alex. This is not a slander against Alex, but his mates who he's joined with are all in the top teams now. How must it feel for him to be in like the bottom team?
Well, he signed that multi-year deal with Williams. He must know something, but they have gone so backwards.
No.
But they didn't have a head of aerodynamic till recently.
I know, it's like...
I don't get it. I feel like...
Things just have a vision and we can't see that far.
Yeah, last season, like, I kind of felt like I can see change coming here.
Yes, there was good positive movements made towards the end of it. And now I feel like we're a bit stagnant.
And Alex and... It's hard to say how... I know I keep getting back to this, but it's hard to say how Logan is actually doing because Alex is also struggling.
He is. Yes.
And my issue with Williams, and I am not a strategist, so I can't comment.
You've read that book, right now.
They are in the points. They pit and go to last, and I think, surely, they're always first to pit, and I'm like, please, can you just stay out? I just want to see you in the points for a bit longer, but I do feel like they're always the first to pit.
And we know that Alex can keep a pair of tyres. Like, he did that one race that time, and he had to come in because... They have to pit at least once.
Australia.
Yeah.
At the last lap.
Yeah. So we know we can keep a pair of tyres.
He is such a good driver. Obviously, he had the opportunity at Red Bull, but it just...
I think that was too soon for him. He needed some more time being
there. Yeah, as well.
Mm.
But it's just so hard.
It is. It's hard being an F1 fan.
It is hard being an F1 fan. Sorry to mention. Do you know it was at the Barcelona Grand Prix... On Sky Sports, they were saying about Logan Sargeant hit the pole with his car.
Right.
At the track. So,
yeah. He was saying, oh my god, yeah.
It wasn't Logan, it was Alex. And they said something on it, like, hopefully he doesn't do this in the race, but, like, you never know. And then they have that podcast, don't they?
Yeah.
And Alex said, what do you think about this? And Logan was like, well, my mate Kim Illman, the photographer, like, told them all straight. It wasn't Logan, and I thought that's tight. That
oh, that's so rude. Yeah, because I remember seeing that picture and thinking, no way. But now that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's a little fun fact for the day.
Fun fact of the day. I have no fun facts. I'm like a bit fun facted out.
Feel like because we're a bit overstressed on outfits for Silverstone, I am not focused on anything else.
I can't consume any other information.
No. I feel like. Leo Leclerc will be at the Silverstone Grand Prix because Charles doesn't seem to do very well when he's not there.
Lucky charm.
Lucky charm, bring him back.
Bring back Leo.
Did you see?
Oh my god, somebody's complained about his welfare.
What is wrong with people?
Who has the time to go and do that?
Literally, like a full-on document. And on that note, we haven't mentioned this, but Alex has gone public.
Yes!
People might be thinking, ugh. Why do they care? She is a fashion icon.
Yeah, she is. The things I do to have her wardrobe.
Literally. And it's actually attainable, I think. And that's what I like about her.
Yeah. Meshki, like, is within reason.
It is, like, affordable. Luxury is not the word. But quality. Yeah. She wears quality pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love that for her. And I feel like I always... felt like I just couldn't mention anything about her because she was private and clearly that was her reasons. But now she's public, I'll talk about her all I want.
You can say what you like.
She's queen. I want her wardrobe and I feel like this is the start of a new era for her.
You know what? It's not even her wardrobe that I want her posture.
Oh my god. I'm on the treadmill, I... ever since she showing up at the Monaco Grand Prix last year... My back on the treadmill is trying. It always comes into my head.
I feel like she definitely grew up walking around with books on her head to stay straight and tall.
She's just stunning.
She's just so elegant. Her aura is beautiful. I aspire to be her.
I agree. I'd love to meet her. I would.
I don't know what I'd say to her, but I'd love to meet her.
I feel like before I would say, when you're ready to go public, I will be there. Because I just wanted. I just love her outfits. Hopefully she'll be at the Silverstone Grand Prix so we can see what she's wearing.
Yeah, and then feel really crap about what we're wearing.
No, No, we're going to look fab. You have to remember, we all want to look cute, but there is the weather problem.
I'm going for festival vibes.
Yeah, I feel like I've tried to think, and I said this last week, I want to be cute, so dress, skirt, I can throw a hoodie on.
Yeah.
New hoodie, guys. Yeah. Abercrombie, can't say the word, but they're all in stock now.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, and they were sold out for ages. So, just buy what you want, guys. But if you want to go extra, go extra. If you don't, that's absolutely fine.
You go, yeah. But yeah, I don't think we'll be going to Kings of Leon because I'll only get to my destination at like 7:30.
I think I might be more excited for Kings of Leon than the race. I love Kings of Leon, guys. I am Kings of Leon's number one fan. Get me on the stage.
Will you please send me a video of Sex on Fire because that is my number one driving song.
Oh, she's a basic fan. Yeah.
No, but Waste a Moment's good as well.
It's a basic fan. Yeah. We also have, there's a lot of action on the track apart from like the F1, and so like the F3's on, the F2's on. Last year they had the Brad Pitt movie going around the track, which has been announced now.
Oh, when are we getting it? Do we know?
Coming out this year, and Hans Zimmer is doing the music for it, which is why you, which is good. So that'd be really interesting.
I'm very excited. Oh my god, we should do a movie watch along. We'll go and we'll watch it together.
Yeah, loads to look forward to. And then we've got a break after Silverstone, which I feel like it's nice.
Yeah.
When we're busy and we have jobs and lives.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do have lives still.
And then it's a full month off.
Oh my god, yeah, then it's August.
So we have Silverstone, and then I want to say we've got Belgium.
Maybe.
And then it's our summer break, guys.
Summer break. Are we having a break from the podcast, summer break?
Well, we just had a big break, so maybe not.
I know. I am going away in August, though.
Who am I?
Where are you going?
Ibiza.
Okay, yeah.
But we can bank some episodes. We've got some things we want to talk about.
Yeah, regs.
Regs and where the hell all the drivers are going. But maybe we'll have that information by then. And if we don't, I actually think I'm going to go into a cardiac arrest.
Yeah. Also, we're going to have a guest on as well.
We are. And we might get some more. You never know.
Yeah. I just need to sort shit out and DM people.
If you see us, I feel like, if you see us at Silverstone, come say hi.
Yeah. I never feel like I'm at a point where I can say that, because then if I'm with somebody and nobody comes over, it's a bit like, never mind.
I know. It'd be fun though, and it'd be such a good debrief afterwards, because it's not just the race, it's also the experience.
We need to come together to do the debrief for that.
We do. Well, we are. We'll be together the next ep.
Why we're up? Yes.
Because I'm coming to you.
Yes. We'll back two episodes that day.
Yeah, and so maybe I won't look as dodgy on the camera.
I don't look dodgy. I guess the next time we'll see you guys, if we do see you, we'll be at Silverstone British Grand Prix. We'll post fit checks every day so you know if you see us.
Yeah, I definitely say keep an eye on like our TikToks, because I'm going to try and daily vlog.
Oof.
Don't hold me to it, but I did really well in Barcelona, and I did it last year when I went.
Mm.
So maybe I will be daily vlogging. So if you're not there and you want to live vicariously through me,
yeah,
then we will
have it. What's your TikTok, Lily?
Lily Roberts.
Okay, and mine's charlotte.rosebrown18, yeah. I think.
Or and then we'll put
a
big vlog on the main.
Yeah, we'll put a vlog on the main, and if we do any content together, we'll put that on the main.
Hopefully we will, because if we do not find each other, I'll cry.
No, because you need to. We'll catch you guys after the British Grand Prix.
Woo-hoo!
Bye! Bye.